Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing X-Men 97, episode 8 of season 1, Tolerance is Extinction, part 1. All that and more after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
And we just watched episode 7 of X-Men 97.
Yeah. Episode 8.
8.
Oh. Right. Never mind.
It's been 8 weeks. Jeez, where's the time go?
Yeah, where does the time go?
I hope I'm not too late.
You're too late, Charles.
You're too late. Are you too late, you wrecked the house more.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the mutants are now joining with an Imperium that is apparently going to attack Earth, possibly. Like, that does look pretty bad. Looks pretty bad there, Charles.
Right.
Not really going to attack, but that's the sales pitch. I was really interesting. This episode, they focus so much on, like, I guess this has always kind of been the way, but it feels more so. It's so focused on what is the narrative being pushed to the public. You know what I mean? And I know that's always been part of it. It's like in every X-Men story is somewhat like, how are we winning the like propaganda battle with like the humans? Like, are the humans on our side? And this one just seems really, really, it's so focused on that. And like the fact that Bastion is basically using these attacks, not as only attacks, but like these propaganda like strategies, you know?
Well, just the thing that he said in this episode that like hit me right in the freaking feels was, I attacked Genosha to overwhelm their senses.
Yes.
Because when you don't have skin in the game, your immediate response is apathy.
That's right. Yeah. And it's really,
like, oh shit. Yeah. Oh no, that's too relevant right now.
It is
a lot
way
of things
too
that
relevant
they said were
right
extremely
now.
Relevant to things going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
X-Men's never been afraid to pull their punches. It's funny because I got to say, at the top, I've kind of been existing in the X-Men world for the past couple of days because I did the Deadpool 2 rewatch. And then we watched Logan. And then I threw on Dark Phoenix. And then I went back to X-Men 2000 and then watched X2, which had a really fun, which I thought was almost an Easter egg. It was, but it wasn't the right car. Scott's Mazda from X2 was a Porsche in this, but it looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, I clocked that. I just watched that yesterday. And then on to The Last Stand, which is, and I'm like halfway through First Class. And I don't recommend watching it that way unless you're a professional like me. Because it's a little chaotic. So.
Yeah, I was like, you're all over the place there.
Yeah, but it's fine. I know it.
I know what
so
I'm doing.
I'm pretty much an X-Man myself now. So yeah, it's good to be a part of the team.
Good.
But it's
did you
been,
hear the call when
I
Charles
did. Oh,
sent
yeah.
Out?
You're lucky to I'm me. Here now. I said I have a more important, I have a Zoom call at 8, Charles. I'll catch you later. You were late, not me, so this is what I do.
Speaking of that call, oh man, when like Hank waking up, you know, that was already like, oh good, he's okay, he's gonna be part of this, but then Storm being one of the heads that popped up and like lit up, I was just like,
right,
yes.
Like you see her face and it's like, where the hell have you been?
Girl, where are you? Even Charles is back.
Yeah.
You were only in New Mexico or wherever.
He's back from
out in Wyoming.
I guess we maybe are supposed to think those two things happened at the same time.
Yeah.
That's
like
the only
something
excuse.
Like that.
I don't know.
They didn't really get very clear with what was going on when. I think Storm see something about Genosha?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she
saw
it
on the
news.
TV and she's like, we got to go.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Right after she got her powers back.
And then around that same time, I'm assuming, is when Charles connected and felt Gambit dying or whatever.
Yep.
Speaking of the news, how about, you know, the New York Post being like, the X-Men set up Charles Xavier's death to kill Trask or whatever. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's some conspiracy brain stuff right there. Like, come on. No.
Speaking of references in your face.
I love that it wasn't WHIH on that one. Like, that one was, was FC News. And it's like, that looks a lot like Fox News.
Yeah. little bit.
I don't want to like point anything out too much, but
yeah. So some of the how direct the show has been, you know, we've talked. I was like, man, is this why that showrunner lost his job?
Oh God,
it can't be.
No,
does anybody know yet? So. If somebody knows, please write in. I really want to know.
Yeah,
I've done zero research into it.
What happened, Bo DeMeo?
What happened? Well, usually they talk about it. I'm not going to derail again.
Yeah. Usually we know something by now, but we haven't just heard anything about why he's, which was like, maybe there's some references he slipped through and they were like, ooh, that was way too close to what's like in the news right now. Maybe this is too much.
But they didn't change anything, even at the point of them being like,
animation's a lot harder to change, you know? Animation's like, once you've got it locked, I mean, you can make changes, but obviously.
Yeah.
But like, you know, once it's your time to run, it's kind of harder to change.
You can only cut so much of an animation thing.
I don't know. I don't think that's it.
It's not like reshoots.
No, I don't either.
Would have pulled it. Yeah.
I don't either. I definitely don't think that's it. I just like watching it, though. I was like, man, this is pretty bold. Commentary.
Countries do horrible things to each other. I'm like,
yes. Mm-hmm. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out for them.
But that's always what X-Men, you know, they've always done it. So
100%.
Push the envelope.
And dealing like literally with genocide in this moment in time.
Hey, Genosha's not genocide. He said so.
Oh, he did say so.
He said so, yeah.
He even pointed out the alliteration.
Yeah. Oof.
After we did the Deadpool thing, this might be spoiler. So I looked in my encyclopedia that's very old, my Marvel encyclopedia, to look up about Cassandra Nova.
Yeah.
And I'll say it's like a 30-second thing. It did say that she was responsible for the genocide of Genosha with the use of Sentinels.
Yeah.
And we don't know who this person is behind all this. And I was like, get out. Because that was a 2001 run. It was like the new X-Men or something?
Yeah. Yeah, she first appeared in New X-Men 114 in 2001.
2001, right? Okay.
Man, that's a really interesting connection because we've talked so much about if these characters end up transferring over into the MCU and the idea that that could be like Cassandra Nova could be the big bad, and then Cassandra Nova is also in the trailers for that as someone who's been pruned or whatever, like, what if this show ends with this timeline being pruned or something like that? And then, like, you know, Wolverine is the Wolverine that transfers over. That would be so cool. Yeah,
it'd be cool.
So cool.
They tie it to so many different comics. And it is interesting because a lot of the storylines do tie back to the movies. Because when Magneto's trying to turn everybody into mutants, it feels like that's what we're, like, gauging up for.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Getting, you know, when people mutate, it's supposed to, the lesser being is supposed to die, is the whole
right
Charles Xavier at school thing, which I heard so many times. You hear it a lot. but that's Magneto's whole thing. It's like, well, we're the evolved race and they're supposed to go and then we keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, that's what humanity did to the Neanderthals.
But that the Cassandra Nova run also had a lot about, like, Emma Frost getting her second power. So, like, mutants mutating past their, like, a second mutation. And mm-hmm. it's, like, that now becomes the newer one when you have, like, double powers. And that was a lot in the new X-Men run, too. So I'm interested to see. They're tying a lot of interesting things together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think they're doing it on purpose to mess with us.
It's either just messing with us or there's actually a tie-in or it's just because these stories are all, you know, being brought forth from the same source material and it just happens to be coinciding. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't think about Cassandra Nova until you just were like, you just mentioned her. She's going to be the big bad supposedly in Deadpool and Wolverine, right?
Oh, for sure.
But she's also, like, she's one of those entities that's born on the astral plane that doesn't have a body.
Yeah, they're like, we fought in the womb and he kicked me out mentally. What?
and it's a parasitic life or a bodiless entity. But then in this episode, we were shown that Bastion's dad was infected by something. Like,
yes.
Something went into his ear, like it could have been a parasitic entity. Oh. Could that be Cassandra Nova?
Maybe.
That like got into his dad.
They said it was they said it was the same thing as the technovirus that was that Cable got, though. Well,
that's what he's infecting people with.
No, he said that thing that it attacked, I think, was a version of the same technovirus.
Nope.
I thought. No? Okay.
No, it was some,
I don't remember.
Some entity got into his dad, and he said that the people, the Prime Sentinels, the people that are turned into Sentinels are infected with the same techno-organic virus that Cable was infected with.
Right, it's all over their, like, face.
Last week, we were talking about Bastion and who he was from comics and stuff, and you guys were telling me about him. And it all seemed so, like, deep and, like, oh, he's this character blended with this character blended with this. Yeah. And, like, and it sounded so complicated that I was like, surely they're going to, like, truncate that for the sake of the cartoon, you know, like he's
good. Backstory.
give us some backstory, whatever. But like, they gave us just like straight up Jean Grey, just like telling the story of Bastion and like giving the full rundown on how he's like a combination of every Sentinel that's ever existed, and he was, you know, given birth to, born out of all the Sentinel technology that has ever existed. He's a combination of Master Mold, not just Master Mold and Nimrod, but Master Mold all the way to Nimrod. All the Sentinel technology, the culmination is Bastion.
Yep. And I love that when Cable was defining it, or like trying to say it, it's like, I don't know, man, he's like Master Mold and some other shit. Like, he's bad. We have to stop him. Like, he doesn't give a shit. It's like, I don't care where he came from. We have to stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we need DP at this point, Gene. Where's Dark Phoenix? Bust her out. It's time. Mm-hmm. You kept showing her in the trailer. You took it away.
They took it away in this one.
I'm
and
watching.
Professor Xavier got his intro card.
Yeah, he got again. It. And Nightcrawler had his swords.
Oh, he got the swords! Yeah.
The coolest thing in this episode was getting to see Nightcrawler Vision through a portal jump.
Yes.
I don't feel like we've ever seen that before.
We haven't. It's always just been like, poof, poof, he's there.
Yeah. Yep.
But you got to go through it.
Yeah. And my girlfriend was like, what the hell did we just see? And I was like, oh, no, I know exactly what that is. That's Nightcrawler's teleporting. He took all three of them. Because when Nightcrawler teleports, he doesn't actually just go poof, poof from one place to another. He makes a tunnel through like a shadowy dimension where like he can't breathe. And that's part of why he can only go so far. It's like because the air is toxic there. So like he just makes a tunnel through there and it's like it bridges the gap. It's like, it's such a thing. And she's like, oh.
It's really like, cool, and I loved it.
That's crazy.
I love that Wolverine was like hanging on by his claws. Like it looked like almost like he was scared he was gonna slip off and like lose himself in that dimension, you know?
Uh-huh.
It was cool.
I was like, oh shit, he's gonna fall off, and that's it. That's gonna be it for Wolverine.
That entire segment though of Wolverine Nightcrawler fighting together was some of the most fun. Yeah. Swashbuckling. Like, and the whole like, I got six reasons why you should remember. Like, now it's nine. It's so corny, but it's fun. It's fun as hell. I love it so much.
I love that he was wielding the third sword with his tail.
Yes.
Exactly like he did in X2. You remember when like when he pulled the dagger from his boot?
Oh yeah, I just watched
and
it.
And handed it to himself.
Yesterday. They got that real close, in, like, didn't they, Mr. Years. President?
It was so good.
So good. And he always looks good. You know what? They nail the Nightcrawler poof in 2000
really
and whatever that was. And it looks the same in Dark Phoenix and Apocalypse. It looks great. It always looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The one thing Fox did right, Nightcrawler.
I think
they put a lot more dust into X2 for it, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had the clouded room.
Listen, throw Hans Zimmer over it, it's fine.
Yeah. Spackle some Hans Zimmer and fill in the cracks, it's fine.
I thought it was funny that we had talked about Jubilee, Vampire Jubilee, and she had on her Vampire Jubilee outfit yes. in this. And yes, she's like, she buy this for me.
I thought that I was going to start off this, this like talking about this episode was like, all right, Jubilee blew up another mall.
No, I'm not going to the mall anymore.
Yeah. She's like, nah, fuck malls. I'm never going back. This woman and malls do not get along. Mm-mm,
they do not. I mean, it is pretty great. Like, I as soon as this episode went off, it brought up the Disney Plus, like what to watch next. And it was, of course, the first episode of the old X-Men series. Yep. And it was just like, the tagline just says, like, Jubilee finds herself in a mall. And I was like, that's
it.
Fighting a thing called Sentinels. And I was like, yep, that's still happening. It's like, yep. You know, six seasons later.
She's not learning anything. I was like, why did you jump off that building like that? You can't fly. What did she do that for?
I don't know.
She didn't know he could fly.
She got a little bit of thrust from her sparkles. And I guess she thought she was going
to
stop.
Now's not the time to try that.
She was like, I've seen Scott do this from the sky. Maybe I can do something similar.
So many good things in this episode. I want to talk about all of them. The fights were great. Seeing Sunspot was great. But my lord, the cameos we got this episode.
Oh,
Spider-Man, Silver Samurai,
Doom,
Omega Red, Doom, Zemo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought for a second Doom was the guy behind Bastion for a second because he says there's someone behind Bastion. We still know that. And then Bastion turns and is talking to Doom. I was like, oh man, are we bringing Doom in? And then it was just that Doom was just the Latverian president or whatever, like leader.
Yep. It looks like they're going for like a cabal type situation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, for sure. Give me all of it. Like you showed me Zemo. You showed me Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
Right when we have like we're in the Marvel Snap season where Zemo is like the season pass card, we're in the Thunderbolts season. Thunderbolts is coming out soon ish
like a year, but yeah,
Zemo is important right now. And you're showing me Zemo on screen. What are you doing?
Yeah,
well, Spider-Man, that was exciting.
That was so cool.
Well, they're back and forth with doing the same thing for Spider-Man, right?
The show?
Like the TV show?
We don't know what it is yet. It's called Spider-Man Friendly Neighborhood.
So they are doing one?
Yeah, they are doing one.
Yeah, there was the freshman year series.
But it's now they've changed it now. It's now called Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man or something like that.
We don't need to go through freshman year. Everybody knows who Spider-Man is.
It's also unclear. Well, originally they were saying it was freshman year and that was supposed to connect to the MCU. Like, what happened to that Peter Parker before? But then that was sort of like, oh, maybe not, maybe not. And now it's like called Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man and it's... We have no idea what it is yet. We don't know if it's like the old connecting to the old stuff, connecting to the new stuff. Okay. Yeah, we don't know yet. But they're kind of killing it with their animation stuff, so I'm on board.
Yeah. They're really just setting it up to be marketed by a series of pogs.
You mean the toys that you slam, the slammers? Yeah.
Okay. I was like okay.
Yeah. I think she heard a different spelling of that word, I think.
No, it's just like they keep putting it off and shoving it back and putting it off and renaming and changing it. And like it's really just at this point, it's going to be like a video that comes in a Happy Meal with some pogs.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fidgety pogs.
Yeah, sorry. Fidget spinners for this day and age.
Speaking of things to fidget with, there's this wonderful, wonderful device you guys should check out. It's called Fume. It's a device that you can use to like sort of replace bad habits, and you breathe in just good fresh air that is flavored. It's good stuff.
Like herbal tea.
Yeah, it's like a herbal tea is to, you know, a soda or something. So there's instead of electronics, Fume is just a completely natural. You're just breathing in flavored air, and it's just mostly a way to replace your bad habits, whatever your bad habit is that you maybe have some sort of oral fixation, and you can like pop that thing right in your mouth, suck on a little bit, feel that fresh, cool air come in, all the flavors just hitting the back of your throat. It's really nice.
It comes with an adjustable airflow dial, and it's designed with movable parts and a magnetic fidgeter to do all, you know, the fidget. It's well weighted and perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
Perfect.
And extremely fun to fidget with.
Yeah, it really is like a thing you can click and clack and spin. And Jeff, you've talked about how you use it to sort of like fidget with.
I do. I have driven myself and the cat crazy with the clickety clacking all day.
You feel cool using it, and how beautiful the real wooden shape are.
It is a really nice shape. It's something you see and you just immediately want to get your hands on. You want to get your mouth on it.
There's no more losing it around the house either with its magnetic stand.
It's a quality device. It's not. There's no electronics. It's not vaping. It is just breathing in nice flavored air.
Just suck on it a little bit.
And if you can start the year off right with a good habit by going to tryfume.com/universe and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners to this show 10% off when they use the code universe to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Tryfume.com/universe, use code universe. Whatever you've been putting your mouth on that you shouldn't be. Switch to Fume. The thing is, the Fume is it's all natural, and there's none of that technology. Unlike the Sentinels, right?
Sentinels.
Double segue. Right. We did the segue in double and the segue back.
Segue in and out.
Leonardo DiCaprio the shit out of that.
Segue in, segue out. Segue in, segue out. Rhythmic, even.
You got to use the rhythm method.
Speaking of horror, they really stuck to the horror things with this. It was great. The grandma when her head like spun around. God. I was like, let's do this. But then it was like the tongue. I'm like, ew, what are we doing?
This was really, really horrifying.
Everybody's dead, right? Who they take over, you're gone. I mean, that's what it is from the comics. You're just gone. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if that would have been true, but it looks like maybe Magneto made sure it was true. Isn't that what he did? I couldn't really tell what he was doing.
He EMP'd the world.
So did he kill all of those Sentinels? Did he kill all technology? Is that what just happened?
It looks like he killed all technology.
Did he take us that's back to the boy. Savage Land times?
Yep.
That's fine.
This is how we get Savage Land, another Savage Land run.
Oh, the whole world is now
Savage World.
Yeah, Savage World. Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, man. So, yeah, they said he declared war, and I think that is fair if that's what he did, if he EMP'd the entire world.
Wouldn't you, if they tied you up on one of those X, I mean, normal people call them the Da Vinci Dude things. I mean, I see it as a padded St. Andrew's bondage cross. Look that up. With those little black satin panties. I mean, you know what I mean. What was going on? It's like, I'm not complaining, but I would declare war too.
I'm not going to say what I would do if someone hung me to one of those crosses in black satin panties. I don't know. I'm not sure. That is not a mind experiment I've ever gone on.
It's really on whether or not I have the magnetic powers.
But yeah. He is full, like, level 10 silent treatment. And that's why I love that. Yeah. You know, he's like,
He said enough.
Yeah. So Val's Val. I'm confused because she's in a Bastion costume, but she still seems like she's her. Do we think she's definitely not Mystique or Mephisto? I'm pissed. But she didn't.
Mephisto. Yeah.
I'm Mephisto right now. She didn't change yet either. I don't know what's going on there.
Unknown.
Wait, are you talking about
Val, the blonde with the glasses?
Wait, is she? What's her name?
I can only remember is her it first Val? Name right now.
Okay, I was like, that's not the you same. That's not the Val from the MCU, right? That's not like a different version of that character or something.
Looking it up.
But yeah, so she is like a liaison to the American government. That's why I'm like, wait,
she was in the UN.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
She's also in on the plan.
Well, she wasn't in on the genocide, but she was in on the plan to control the mutants, it seems like. It seems like she's been supporting Bastion in his, like, sort of back dealings with the UN and all these, this cabal of nations to try to, like, control all of these characters. But it doesn't seem like she was in on the genocide or didn't know about that part of the plan.
Her name is Val Cooper.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies can't handle the silent treatment from satin panty Magneto on a St. Andrew's cross because, I mean, it took her to the point of being like, I'm just going to let you go to get some kind of reaction out of this.
I mean, you can't really blame her. And really, Sebastian should have, like, really known this was coming. When you take a Magneto, that sexy, sexy man, and you hang him up in little panties.
With his little muscles out.
And then you have, you know...
With his little muscles.
Have a woman, you know, hanging out. And I don't mean women. Like, any human would be... weak to such... I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're speaking the truth.
Lay it out for us, Matt.
Let me know how it made you feel, Matt.
This is a safe space, Matt. We're not here at King Shit.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Oh, God.
Okay. But this is absolutely terrifying. All these. What are they calling them? Techno Sentinels? Like what are
these? Prime Sentinels.
Prime Sentinels. That's right. All these Prime Sentinels emerging all over the world. He apparently did it to his entire childhood neighborhood, including his mother. And I knew it was coming. I knew she was going to turn. Like, as soon as they saw her in the corner of the room, I was like, but like her turning and then like flipping like inside out practically, you know, turning upside down.
Oh,
like,
body horror. I love it.
Real body horror.
Expected like kind of like the first Captain America type thing where it's like, oh, it's just like a pawn shop or, you know, old ladies there. Like, oh, weather's looking great out there, but I always keep an umbrella. Like, and then she pulls out a Tommy gun or whatever. Like, I expected something like that. Where she's just like, oh, my son said that you'd be coming for me tomorrow. Good thing I packed this gun everywhere. That's what I was expecting. Not like she's dead turning into a prime freaking sentinel.
Someone on the writing staff loves horror. That's all I have to say is they keep sneaking it in there.
It's not sneaky.
Fantastic.
There's no sneaking.
They're putting it in there every chance they get.
It's been huge portions of every episode.
Yeah,
been
I love it.
Kind of horror.
Hey, these kids need to buff up. We grew up watching some pretty horrific stuff, and I still can't go in the dark, but I, you know, I'm an adult.
It didn't affect me at all. I still can't go in the dark.
You don't get to have that rush, that fear of I'm so scared to go into this basement. Now a kid will just go into the basement because they're not afraid. You gotta scare the kids to keep them safe.
Kids need, for their own safety, to be sprinting up the basement stairs when the light goes off.
Yeah. In case, you know. There aren't actually puppies down there.
More than puppies.
More than puppies.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So...
they burned the house down. The Blackbirds exploded for the third time in 2 months.
It's a lot of destruction on the X-Men side. But it seems that the real problem is Magneto decided to win the war.
And then said, nope. Y'all got nothing.
Yeah, I wonder, does that take Bastion out? Did we see him?
I think they're going for the, like, he's not an Uber Sentinel himself. He's just a mutant that, you know, controls it all or makes it or whatever.
Well, he's also, like, the culmination of Sentinel technology.
Yeah, I wonder if, like,
injected into his father or whatever.
Yeah, he has a limp now.
Leg doesn't work.
Oh, what about Forge?
Oh yeah,
Forge. Oh,
I'm thinking about it. Like, what
about
Forge?
That's what's taken Storm so long.
Yeah,
she's got to run a truck.
Like, EMP and Storm's like, hold. Oh man, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a dick move, Magneto.
And it kind of like, well, I don't know. I don't know. I guess EMPs work on devices that are like. Actively on, right? Like, isn't that how EMPs work? If you have something just shut down, it's not affected.
In the flash forward, they showed Polaris, who's my girl, so I always just like really focus in. That's my favorite Marvel character. She was older and she was doing the same thing that Magneto was doing, but it looked like maybe fixing something, and around her was a bunch of the Bastion Sentinels, and I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Oh, what they're saying is that the Sentinels, basically the world becomes Sentinels.
Right.
All the humans, and then they enslave mutant kind.
What was she doing, fixing?
Yeah, she was like building part of the Golden Gate Bridge or something.
The Last Stand. That was another X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men reference. Yep. Yeah. An X-Men
reference. No, she was up in space, and she was doing to the Earth what we saw Magneto do.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, I don't know what she was doing, but
I wonder if she was fixing whatever he did.
Well, it seems like there's a bunch of infrastructure that needs to be, or a bunch of infrastructure needs that are being met by mutants.
Yeah. They talk about in this episode, and it's something I've always really enjoyed, like the idea of in a world where, like, I had an idea for a comic that I was trying to write one time where it's like you have this world where, like, powers happen, and sure, there are big superheroes, but there's also just people who are good at certain things because they have powers, so they end up just getting jobs. It's like the guy who can bag things really fast at the store. Like, if everyone has powers, no one does, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, everyone still has to go to their work, and I love that because they mentioned that here. It's sort of this, like, idea that, like, they said something like, why would a construction crew hire 10 men when they could hire one mutant with the strength of 10 men, you know?
Frees those other guys up to go do something else.
Exactly. Unless, you know, the economy works like it does now, which is mean that X-Man's making all the money. They're taking our jobs is what they were going for.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly what they're going for.
But if they're enslaving them in the future, then that's a whole different deal.
Yeah. So, really, we're just exposing problems in our current economic system.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I also think that the idea that, like, whatever Magneto did, I think it's a smart thing you said, Ash. I don't know that she can undo an EMP, but I wonder if they can use the destruction that Magneto just caused all around the world, all this technology destroyed. I wonder if they could use that to say, hey, you know what? We have to enslave the mutants to rebuild society. Like, you know what I mean?
You broke it.
This is the mutants' fault. They did this to us. Like, now they need to fix the world. And so then they, like, enslave the people and make them, like, rebuild the bridges, rebuild the technology. Forge has to, like, reinvent everything.
I wonder how many planes just fell out of the sky.
Right. Yeah.
He does not care.
He doesn't seem to care in this moment.
He was just upside down getting shaved by a weirdo. You know, like, you come out of there, like, very upset.
He didn't even put anything on. He just went straight to the North Pole.
He's like, ooh, there ain't no other way. Since we keep saying, like, born this
it's
way.
Real chilly out here, but fuck this planet. Blah!
what's his planet? Planet M or
Asteroid M?
Asteroid M.
Yeah, see, when I saw him flying, and he was flying over, like, a desolate wasteland of some sort, I thought he was, like, going to Asteroid M, or he was, like, maybe going to the moon or something, you know, like, he was doing something different, but no, he was just going to the North Pole to just, like,
wreck house. I don't understand how magnetic field works, but isn't there something to do with the North and the South Poles? Could he shut everything down using magic with the North and South Pole that he got from Santa Claus? I don't know.
He got it from Santa Claus.
It's Santa-related, Ash. That's why he did the North Pole instead of the South.
Did he just kill all the elves? Christmas is canceled, everybody. Everybody's dead.
Oh, man.
If he disrupted Earth's magnetic field, there's a strong chance of
tsunami,
like, solar radiation.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Wrecking
really
everything.
Worrying. Like, our magnetic field is what allows us to live on this planet, because solar radiation gets diverted to the poles or whatever,
or just gets
dispersed
away.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Who do you think's going to be able to talk him down? Is it going to be Charles or Rogue?
It's got to be Charles.
I don't know that anyone will be able to talk him down, but I think we've kind of lined up on the old school. Like, we went through all of this stuff this entire first half of the season, and now we've landed on the old lines are redrawn. Magneto is a guy who, like, wants to take over the world. He's always stopped, or he's beaten, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always Charles's beautiful eyes that stop him. Then it's
just to me, eyes. My X-Men. Oh,
Magneto's like, no, I went.
There's Eric. I have not been able to sense his mind for so long. He's always had that helmet on.
God.
Thankfully, Bastion removed that.
As well as everything else.
As well as the rest of his clothing.
Finally, I can see Eric.
I see you, Eric, for who you truly are. the beautiful man you are.
Bring your black velvet satin panties and meet me at the X Mansion.
My marriage did not work out, Magneto.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Charles, I already knew. Of course it didn't.
Would you like to be co-emperor of the Shi'ar Empire?
Somehow he got the Shi'ar Empire in the divorce.
Yeah. They signed a paper wrong. It's like, just because he's a man.
Yeah, the laws work really weird around there. This is completely unrelated, but I just find it very funny. If I told you guys about our Judith thing around here?
No.
So we were talking about one of the first conversations me and Paige had when we met was the idea that, like, the show Who's the Boss is about a lady who is the boss of the family. She's the mom, and she is Tony's boss. But because he's a man, the show is called Who's the Boss. That's the whole conceit of that show, and no one questions it. No one, like, for the 80s, everyone's like,
of course not.
Who's the boss, though? Like, she has the job. She pays him. She is the boss of the family and his boss, but he's a Mando, like, right? Like, he's a man, and so who's the boss? We don't know. We're in the 80s. We don't know who the boss is.
He's wearing the
lines aren't
jeans.
Very clear.
Yeah. So Judith Light is the lady who plays that that character, and so we always say, "Oh, you're Judith." Like, when it's someone's turn to do something or, like, make a decision, we're like, "Oh, you'd be Judith on this one," or, like,
yeah.
Judith would order dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want pizza or this or that? You're Judith. You do it. And that's...
Handle it, Judith.
Really, really enjoy that that weird... It's terrible. It's such a sexist thing from the 80s. And I just... It's so sexist that it's hilarious. Like, it's so over the line funny.
Yeah. And so 97's not that far removed from the 80s, so...
It's true.
So, you know... Charles might be like, I'm Judith now.
Well, yeah. Like, literally, Who's the Boss, it looks like, ended almost the same year that this cartoon started.
Yep.
It ended in 92. Yeah, it ended in 92, and so the X-Men started in 92.
Mephisto confirmed.
Oh,
Mephisto
something they confirmed. Said in this one I thought was interesting that you meant fixed points. The fixed points. Oh, yeah.
And Kamertage.
When they talked about Kamertage.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Right before they brought it up, they were like, I couldn't change it. And then someone went, strange. Like, yeah, they just said strange.
Beast said strange.
And then he said, strange. The as soon as he said strange, he's like, the mystics of Kamertage. I was like, did you just say Doctor Strange? Like, what just happened there? Or were you saying the word strange? Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Well, whenever someone says strange like that, I'm like, my knee-jerk response is to go, so strange, it's Doctor Strange. And I immediately had that reaction, and then he was like, the mystics of Kamertage. I was like, oh my god, you did not.
Yeah, I thought that's exactly what I did. I was thinking about fixed points and all that stuff, and I was like, oh, he said strange. That's a cute Easter egg. And then he said the mystics.
The fixed point was gone over in... Right. In Doctor Strange's
What If
bad episode of What If?
Yeah, when he loses his hands instead, or his heart instead of his
hands.
I
like that one. I was like, yeah. She keeps dying.
She keeps dying.
And like, there's something you could do, fixed point.
Yep.
But so they're making me maybe think that Gambit's not going to come back, but I'm still like, I don't know. I'm gonna hold strong until the end.
I thought for sure he'd be back when Magneto was gone too. But now that Magneto's back, it's like, I think Gambit might be dead. Losing both of them felt like too big of a loss to the show. But losing them both and then getting Magneto back, it's like, oh, maybe Gambit's gone for real. And like, I feel like the show has spent a lot of time grieving him. I feel like bringing him back now would be a disservice. Like, yeah, it was a pretty amazing death. And I kind of want them to, like, I will remember it. We will remember the name Gambit.
They've given us a replacement in swashbuckling Nightcrawler.
I know.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel the same.
No,
and I love both of them equally, but wonderful. There is a special place in my heart for Gambit.
I just want both of them on the team.
Yeah. Oof, man.
Like, unless we get Darkseid Rogue and she just joins with Magneto and the two of them go against the Earth. And I'm like, okay.
That's a pretty good idea. I mean, especially she's, last thing we saw her do was kill that dude or try to kill that dude.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you couldn't just give it to her.
I mean, there was that thud and the questioning of her, and then she got clocked.
Yeah, but it's still knocked out. I thought when all those Prime Sentinels were coming into her room, I thought they were going to touch her skin and like it was just going to fry them or like she was going to suck their power out and maybe it was going to wake her up or something.
Ooh, it reminded me
that she gets the programming.
Yeah, the Days of Future Past, the Rogue cut where they have her at like a facility and are just using her powers to like do something. I can't remember. I haven't watched that one in a while.
Hmm. Oh yeah,
but no, she was like unconscious and they were all just, you know, taking her stuff and I can't remember. I love that. That's the better version. I like the Days of Future Past is like my favorite of all of those, but the Rogue cut's the best.
Well, more Rogue, more better, you know.
The story makes more sense.
Well, that's good.
Sure.
I do. Yeah, there's definitely some holes in that in that movie.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, any other thoughts on this episode?
We heard William Stryker, I guess, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Have you heard Stryker yet?
He was on the show, or he was on the news, like ranting about something. I just remember seeing E.M. Stryker on the thing, on the TV.
Oh, it makes sense.
I'm really pumped for Spider-Man, and I feel like, I don't know, part of me is like, now they've shown a little glimpse of Spider-Man, it makes more sense they've shown a glimpse of Captain America, but I was really hoping we would get the other, other people from the Marvel Universe, like, showing up, and like, in earnest, like, being a part of the plot, not just as cameos. And it could be, like, if Magneto just declared war on the Earth, could it be that, like, we get sort of, you know, uber mutant registration plot, and we sort of see all these different characters come around?
But yeah, Civil War situation.
Yeah.
Or X-Men versus Avengers.
Yep.
Happens after the Bastion stuff in the comics.
That could be what we're heading towards. That could be really fun.
Yeah. Really, and I'm okay with them not doing it this season, because let it just be about the X-Men. Introduce a couple people. I don't want anyone to take any of their stuff, but they're going to end it on a good cliffhanger, maybe.
Give us hints at it.
They did.
Like, we saw Spider-Man. Like, we've got nice little sprinkles of hints. Like, we don't need a huge, like, all-out war between the Avengers and the X-Men at the end of this season. That's too much.
Mm.
But if you're hinting at it for next season,
I can see it being like they line up, they take out, you know, Bastion and all his cronies, you know, and they shut all that down, and then they're like, but the world is still against us, we have a lot of work to do, and then just the Avengers show up, and they're like, you know, we were here to stop you, like, you just went against the government, and, you know, Bastion was kind of part of the government, part of this whole, like, the part of the UN, it looks like, and so, like, they just basically declared war on the UN, took out Bastion, took out all his people, and then like the Avengers show up to sort of like stop them, and that'd be like how the show ends, you know, like for season one. And be sure. Like, oh man, we're heading towards
some AVX. At least they don't have to worry about Iron Man.
Why is that? I don't remember.
Big ass EMP.
Oh, good point.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, but he might have like some shielded suits or some suits that are like,
maybe,
you know, still around, or like we're powered down properly. I don't know how EMPs work. I know that like people, when they use EMPs in the battlefield, there's a way to like turn your stuff off or whatever, so you can use an EMP and then like it takes out the enemy, but you can turn your stuff back on. I don't really understand it.
The EMP like wave the pulse that an EMP is disrupts the flow of electrons and like fries everything around those electrons. So if you turn your stuff off and there are no electrons flowing, then it can't get shorted.
Right. Mm.
This is also a Magneto power EMP, not, you know, we don't know exactly what he did.
Sure. We're sort of assuming with the EMP thing. Like,
I think he's a lot stronger than an EMP.
Well, I mean, I think that EMP is a pretty likely scenario. I don't know what he was doing. Like, I didn't catch that's what was going on. But I think Jeff thinks EMP, and I think that makes sense. especially seeing as all the Prime Sentinels are dead, it seems. But an EMP would, like we said, destroy all the cars and planes and everything else too. So,
well, we saw a lot of like all of the cities, like all the power went out and all the cities.
Did they see?
Like,
I missed that.
It all shut down. Like it's very
strongly
pointing toward EMP.
Ruh-roh. Okay.
Cool.
Ruh-roh.
Cool. All right. Well, we will be back with more X-Men 97 coverage next week, and we'll have an episode on Tuesday dropping too. So we'll be back for more Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Anybody got anything they want to tell the people about?
Catch me on Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater for all things horror and all the places you get the podcast.
Yes. Speaking of Bill, from Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater, I'm covering the Planet of the Apes movies over on Binger's Assemble right now with Bill Bria and J. Sky St. Clair and David Flores. We are covering Planet of the Apes, the most recent series that's about to have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes coming out next week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. It's been really fun so far. I really like those movies. They're cool. Yeah. They're very much up my alley. I like them a lot. I loved the Planet of the Apes movies as a kid, and I don't know why. I just never got into the series, but I finally am caught up, and I'm pretty pumped about it.
Monkeys on horses. It's not my thing.
Oh, man. So good.
There is one thing that I have been holding back from you guys just to see your reactions in real time.
Uh-oh.
Dragon Con.
Yeah?
Saturday at 7 p.m., we will be hosting MCU Cast 10-year anniversary.
Ooh, all right. Really?
Yep. We are on the schedule.
Oh, yay.
That's crazy.
Well, we Saturday good at 7 job, p.m. Jeff. We're doing it. Really appreciate you getting on that. That's awesome. We've been planning on trying to get that together. So I'm super excited we get to do that. That's awesome.
Wow. You'll have to tell me everything later.
Yeah. I guess we'll talk about it later. Exciting. About what we'll be doing and everything. It'll be our first live podcast. So if you want to come to Dragon Con, we mentioned it a few weeks ago. We're going to be going to Dragon Con. I guess we'll be doing a live podcast. That's awesome. Yay.
Yes, we will.
Woo! We didn't know. We didn't know till now.
I had no idea. All right, that's so cool.
Thanks. That's great.
So get your ticket at dragoncon.org.
Do it and tell them the MCU cast sent you somehow. All right. Well, that's awesome. Can't wait. I think it'd be really cool. I think like it's such a big meeting of geeks that I feel like there's going to be a lot of pandas there already. That we just don't normally have a meeting place, so just having something that we can all meet up at is going to be super rad. So
even if there's only five people in the audience, I'm going to have a great time.
10-year anniversary,
I love the stage.
Yeah.
I was born for the stage.
And I have performed to three people before, and I've, you know, it's
fine. That's awesome.
Ready. That's so cool. So great. That's really so crazy. Cool.
Yay. Yep. I don't even know. I'm kind of
I don't even know how to handle it. My insecurities immediately came up. It's like, only five people are going to show up. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So make sure that more than five people show up. Come on, everybody.
Come on to Dragon Con if you haven't made plans already. We'll definitely do other meetups as well throughout the weekend and have some hangouts or something. Come to Dragon Con, everybody. We'll be there. We'll be doing our 10th anniversary show. That's awesome. Yay! All right. Yay. Well, talk about Barry in the lead there, Jeff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just like, I just remembered.
I did.
I know.
I did. I was like, well, I had something that I had to talk about.
And I see you point to Jesus and swing your hand around. And I was like, what is he? What's going on down there? You go.
It just got a big, something big just hit Jeff.
Matt was like, does anybody have something they want to mention? And I was like, no, nothing. No, wait. There was something. Ha-ha! I remember!
And then he tried to play it off like, yeah, I was saving this, so I would tell you now. I didn't want to say it before now to like mess up the podcast, but I did have something that I've been planning to say in this moment.
It was that I was planning to say it during tonight,
the cast, yeah.
But it forgotten. Like, I said, okay, cool, I've got that news. I'll wait to tell them when we podcast.
Yeah.
And then I forgot until just now. Yeah,
we'll bring it up on other future casts, and we'll be doing it. I'm excited, man. All right, guys. Well, we will see you guys soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.